Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising.
Radio TV show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Joining me this morning.
morning. It's Monday Morning Mindfulness. Welcome. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, and we're just here to make your day a bit better. If we can do that through our breathing exercises this morning, our mental stimulation this morning. So do me a big favor. Text somebody and let them know that they are about to experience when blackness was golden. Yes. I have a very special guest coming up today, and I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But right now, it's Monday, April 14th. Excuse me, I've got the days all mixed up. I'm so excited I can't think straight. It is Monday, April 18th, 2022. Happy Earth Day, birthday, born day. If you are celebrating a birthday, we're celebrating it with you. Because if you are still here, your heart, you feel that heartbeat and you're still here, you got purpose. And that means you need, there's something that you need to be doing, you deserve to be doing. Because the divine still has a plan for you. So thank you for being obedient and listening to the spirit that is within. Let us always give thanks and say prayer for the sick and the shut-in, those who are incarcerated, and the non-believers who have just given up. No faith, no hope. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. So we invite you to always spend a moment of time in prayer for the global continent in which we live, because we are all connected by the divine. And once we realize that, we'll be in much better shape. And the world will be golden. It just won't be when blackness was golden. The world will be golden, but that's another show. Anyway, when blackness was golden, with filmmaker, activist, author, philanthropist, Paymon Rami, and he will be joining us in the 7:30 hour. If you're listening online, thank you so much for joining us on YouTube, a Higher Learning TV show, and on Facebook, HLNTV1. And if you'd like to join the conversation, I'll open the mics up in the 7:30 hour, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. And you've got to press 1, because otherwise we won't see the hand light up on the switchboard. Also, be sure and check out my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. All the information and updates are always on my blog. And there will be the after show on the blog today. The information, I should say. The after show will be right here. If you're headed out and about this morning, it is 7:07. It is time for you to take a deep breath before you head out, because it's Monday morning madness on the roadways. Overnight, mostly cloudy, up to 50 degrees tomorrow, because you know it's usually 60 degrees around this time of year. Some sunshine, but just not a whole lot of it. Expected 35 at O'Hare, maybe up to 50 today. We're certainly hoping, because usually it's like 60 degrees, so we're a little chilly this morning. Traffic and weather sponsored by Karen Kelly of itext.com. You'll see that on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. If you're an entrepreneur or business owner in need of personal or professional items, clothing, business supplies, services, products, then you can get that. You can join iTex free, absolutely free of charge, and you get $100 to go shopping immediately if you mention the bonus promo code, which is Zelda, Z-E-L-D-A. Always giving thanks to the ancestors who came before me to make my way possible. And that's what Richard Pegue used to call me, Zelda. Herbie Baby, Herb Kentucky, always giving thanks to the ancestors. And Yvonne Daniels, she was from WNU. And Jackie Hasselrig, and the list goes on. Anyway, I said that to say this. If you are out and about, expect delays on Metra. There are no delays, but on CTA, it's a whole other story. There are delays from Fullerton to 95th Street, so allow yourself some extra time. Right now, let's take a look at the Kennedy inbound past Harlem. There are some stalls. 26 minutes inbound, 21 on the reverse. On the Edens, it's 25 in, 29 out, Lake Cook to the junction. On the Eisenhower, it's 30 minutes in, 23 on the reverse. On the Stevenson, there's a few delays there, 29 in, 17 out. And on the Dan Ryan, those delays from the Jane Byrne interchange, expect delays. It is 18 minutes outbound and 12 minutes inbound. On the Bishop Ford, 15 minutes outbound and 10 in. And Lakeshore Drive, it is 10 minutes in both directions. Excuse me, DuSable Lakeshore Drive. It is 10 minutes in both directions. And there is some construction that slows down just a little bit on the inbound Lakeshore Drive. And that's your traffic and weather sponsored by Karen Kelly of IPEX.com. If you are a traveler and you like food, chances are, if you've been eating a few things the last couple of years that you may or may not have, should have had, then there's a possibility that you may be diabetic, so be sure and go check out diabeticdonut.com, where there is my 7-ingredient recipe. You always see me drinking from this from my lovely cup. Oh, I said it was good for you. I said it tastes good, okay? Apple, beet, cucumber, lemon, ginger, kale, turmeric. Those are the 7 ingredients that I drink every day. If I reverse type 2 diabetes in my 60s, you can do it too. And I know you know somebody, because we all got somebody in the family who's a diabetic, and you know, sometimes we remain in denial. But go to diabeticdonut.com and download that. It's free, and share it. Tell everybody you know, because it's rampant in our community, right? Remember to set those DVRs for the Higher Learning Network TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19, and 24/7 on our YouTube channel. So just go to higherlearningnetwork.org to see the information scrolling below. It is now time for our Monday morning mindfulness spiritual reading. And, you know, I usually read from my book, Inspirational Conversations, but I like to, since my guest is an author, I like to promote him. But instead, I'm going to read, I'll promote him later, but right now I want to read to you from Mike House, which is where I get my inspiration from. And it says, easily said and done, April 18th, 2022. We have heard or said the phrase, easier said than done. Yes, we have. When it comes to changing, learning, or eliminating some undesirable habit or belief, difficult though it may be to eliminate some deeply seated beliefs, if we are to live the abundant, healthy, joyful life, we must deny the error a place of habitation. With every truth principle we have learned or have been exposed to, we affirm the good we wish to experience in its place. Our tools for consciousness building, denials and affirmations, are available to us 24/7, 365 days a year, to change negative mindsets and habits of behavior. We must pray to be shown how. For each of us, it varies according to our desire to affect change in our lives, but nothing can stand in the way of a made-up mind that depends on God as wisdom and understanding to prevail. We can change the paradigm by affirming that it's easily said and done. Get started today to form a new habit and a new consciousness of overcoming negative habits and beliefs. With God, it is easily said and done. Wisdom has built her house, and she has set it up. It's 7 pillars. And that is taken from Proverbs 9 and 1. And that's your inspiration this morning from Mike House. And if you don't know who Mike House is, Google it and get on his list, because he sends them out every morning. The only thing is that you cannot respond, because there's so many. You know, your phone just ping, 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 ping all day. It's like, oh. So he says, do not respond. You can get them, but don't respond. All righty? And now it is 7:15, and you know what that means. Oh, did I just write it? Yeah, I did. You know, I do that sometimes. I'm a poet, and I know it. Shut up, Tony. So he makes me laugh all the time, so I just made myself laugh this morning. Oh, this is too funny. Okay. Okay, here we go, y'all. Let us prepare this morning for what I just read to you. A state of consciousness will do affirmations, and other tools for changing consciousness. So let us sit up straight in our chair and be prepared to inhale and exhale. And we're going to do it with our eyes closed. So you should not be looking at me. Your eyes should be closed. The only thing you should see is the inside of your eyelids, okay? And I'm going to count to five. Inhale. Through your nose, hold it. And exhale. That's all we're doing. Because, why are we doing this, Zelda? Because your breath is your first line of defense. How so? I'm going to show you. So let us begin the process. And you'll hear this sound. Be not alarmed. It's not an alarm. It's just a reminder to focus. So here we go. Oops. That didn't sound too well, did it? There you go. The sound is simply a reminder to close your eyes. Become centered in the space of the divine. And with that, we close our eyes, sit up straight, feet flat on the floor. And simply raise your hands in the air. No, you're raising like this, okay? Just raise your hands in the air. And simply move them. And simply move them. And stretch. And stretch. But you told us we were going to breathe, Zelda. I am. Just want you to stretch a little bit. And stretch. I do that because I have a high back chair and I can reach this. And it feels good. So I just want you to stretch to get a little limber this morning. There you go. Yeah, move it around. Oh, yeah. Inhale deeply. Close your eyes. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Oh, did that feel good? If you took a deep enough breath, you will feel that all right here immediately. Inhale once more. Hold it. And exhale. Once more. Inhale deeply. Through the nose. And exhale. Now, as you continue to breathe in and to breathe out, simply give thanks for the power of the breath. Because someone is unable to breathe on their own. And look at you. No breathing problems. And even if you do have a little congestion, you can still breathe. You're not on a ventilator. And even if you are, you still have the capacity to breathe. So simply inhale and exhale to the sound of my voice and just continue breathing in and breathing out. You see, the breath is the first line of defense. It can keep you in times of chaos and confusion and maintain your sanity. And did I also mention that it increases your likelihood of a healthy immune system? Yes. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. Inhale once more. And as your mind begins to wander, and it's okay because that's what the mind does do. You can't shut it down, but you can guide it in the direction that you want it to go, like leaves floating down a stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is what a dream. You simply tell those thoughts. Inhale. And watch the thoughts go down the stream as you direct them back to your mind as you say to yourself out loud, I am happy. And exhale. And just let that marinate. Just let that those vibrations of the words that you just spoke, that marinate in your body. Yes, I'm feeling a tingle, aren't you? Inhale deeply. Hold it. And as you exhale, say it out loud. Words have energy vibrations. I am healthy, whole, and complete, just as I am. Yes. Inhale deeply. Hold it. Now that we have secured the bubble, our protective energy is around us. We continue to breathe in, bringing all that energy from below up to our head as we give thanks, as we inhale. Hold it. And exhale. And just be with that stillness in the moment. That's where your power is. in the quiet, in the stillness of the moment. As we inhale deeply, and this time as we inhale, bring all the breath, all the energy of the breath up to the top of the head as we inhale. And as we exhale, bringing that energy down from the forehead to the face to the shoulders, and you take your fingers and stimulate the back of your shoulders because that's where most of us hold all of our attention. And just rub it. Just give some love. I take my fingers and knead the top of my shoulders and the back where I hold all of my stress. Wherever you hold your stress, give it some love because it's calling you. It's trying to get your attention. Our body's always trying to get our attention, but we're too busy here, there, and the other. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale once more. Let's bring that energy back up through the top of the head. Hold it. And as we exhale, bring the energy down through the shoulders and the arms and the wrists and the fingers and just move them. And let the body know that you're alive. As we inhale once more, hold it. Bringing the breath of the energy down through the solar plexus, the chest and the sides and the back as we inhale. Giving thanks for the breath that continues to move down through the hips as we do the higher learning hip row, because sitting is the new smoking. And we sit all day, so we need to move all day too. So we just gently rock from side to side as we inhale deeply. And as we exhale, send more love, light, and energy down through the buttocks and the hips and the thighs and the knees. Oh, yes, rub those glorious knees, because if you anywhere near my age, you know what I'm talking about. Inhale deeply. And exhale, sending more love and light and energy down through the legs and the ankles and the arches and the insteps and the bottom and the top of the feet. As we inhale deeply, sending more love, light, and energy down through the toes as we wiggle those toes, sending, bringing that energy back up from the toes through the ankles, the heels, and the legs. As we inhale, bringing that energy back up through the knees and the thighs and the hips and the buttocks and the back and our sides. As we inhale once more, and exhale. Inhale once more. Bringing that energy back up through the solar plexus, the back, the arms, and the shoulders as we move them, and give thanks that we have movable parts, because you may be complaining about the joints in your body that don't move the way that they used to, but that's okay too, because you're moving them now, and a body in motion stays in motion. As we inhale deeply, bringing that energy all the way up, back up to the top of the head, as we give thanks for the breath that we breathe, because we are now in divine alignment with the Creator through the breath. As we give thanks, inhale deeply and exhale. Inhale once more. This time, take a long, deep inhale. Inhale deeply. And as you exhale, bring your head forward, tilt it, chin to chest, and slowly rotate the head to the left. That's why you're sitting up straight. And bring it around to the back. Slow down. You may be moving just a tad bit too fast. Yeah, feel that stretch in the neck as you bring it over to the right. And finally, bring it around to the front. Head up, inhale deeply. And as you exhale, bring chin to chest and slowly rotate the head to the right. Slowly, slowly, slowly. You should just be getting to the back and around to the left. And slowly bringing it around back front. Head up, inhale deeply. And as you exhale, look to the right as far as you possibly can. Feeling the stretch on the left side of your neck. Ooh, that feels good, doesn't it? And bring the head back. And turn the head to the right, to the left as far as you possibly can, feeling the stretch in the left side of the neck. I'm sorry, the right side of the neck. But I just tear that all up. Inhale deeply. And as you exhale, look to your left as far as you possibly can, feeling the stretch in the right side of the neck. And exhale. How does that feel? Inhale once more. And exhale. I've got the heat on and I'm sweating like a pig. And it doesn't help that I'm drinking hot tea. It doesn't help at all. But, you know, what comes up must come out. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just experienced a breathing session that can assist you when you are being attacked mentally, emotionally, physically, psychologically. All you have to do when someone knocks on your door, calls you, or interrupts you of any kind, you simply look at them and you do this through the nose, because they're going to look at you like you're crazy, like you have lost your last mind. But you know what? That's okay, because what other folks say about you is really none of your business. And if you got just a teeny-weeny bit of garlic or onion on your breath, baby, you got some funk, you forgot to brush your teeth, when you exhale, don't exhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth. Here you go. And I promise you they'll disappear, because nobody wants to smell your funk that early in the morning, okay? We don't want to smell our own funk. So anyway, you be sure and go and check out my YouTube page, Zelda Speaks, or Zelda Speaks Mindfulness. And you'll see more information there. You'll see testimonials, teachers, lawyers, doctors, everybody. We all need to get into the habit of breathing and practicing this, especially when we're stressed out, because you know they're coming at us left and right. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. And I want you to share that with someone, too, because each one teach one. If we all teach each other how to de-stress in a moment of stress, that will help us in our daily endeavors. So give thanks for the breath and all of these systems within the system, within this one system, that are working on our behalf and we don't even know it. Did you give thanks this morning for your brain, for your heart, for your liver, your lungs, your spleen, your spine, the systems within the system, the digestive system, the assimilation system, and the elimination system? Because, you know, some of y'all are constipated, but I know I ain't want to gossip. So you want to keep those systems working, so you have to give them what they need, the nutrition that they need. And we have a tendency to think the more that we eat, the less that we eat is what will heal the body. Because it just dawned on me a few years back that the more we eat, the body doesn't have time to process it. We've been told we eat 3 meals a day. That's not the truth. We should be eating 1 meal a day. And that one meal should be live food. But, you know, we hooked on this industry of garbage that we eat. So, you know, it's a personal battle for all of us, especially what we drink. Now, this is where the promotion comes in, because I am an advocate of, since I've gotten a little wiser, and there's a few things that I know that I didn't know before, so I'm going to share them with you, and you can go to my blog later, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. Scroll down and you'll see where I have a big bottle of noni juice. If you want to keep your immune system up to par, I take noni juice, a little bottle. You'll see it on my blog. It's not a little bottle, it's a big bottle. And I take a little bit every day. And I ask you to go to my blog to purchase that, because every single cent that you spend and money that we earn, you saw that click, click commercial was running at the beginning of the show, that is how we order it. That's how we help the homeless. We have a homeless project, the Higher Learning Network, excuse me, in which we help the residents of Tent City. And if you go to our link tree, you will see that. And also, it's on our Instagram. It's on our Instagram page. And that's how we help the homeless. We take them food, and we take them what they really need, and that's to keep warm at night. Because chances are you slept good last night. A lot of them didn't, if they slept at all. So we take butane tanks out there, the little bitty ones you can get them from Walmart. They are like $10 for two of them or $5 for one. And if you would like to contribute to the project, HLN Homeless Project, you can do so by going to our website, and just know that it's tax deductible. And every dime that you spend, just know that you help someone keep warm at night. And that's my plea to you to help the homeless. So when you see somebody homeless, don't go judging them, because we don't know what their stories are. And many of us are one check away from being homeless. So let us not judge. So I wanted to share that with you. And I also want to share with you the fact that if you are not living your life like it's golden, it ain't never too late. Living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's set up, Zelda, you know you can't sing. Anyway, I just had to share that with you. Oh, and I forgot to tell you about the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, which is every last Saturday of the month, where we showcase talent from all over the world. We've had it from Asia, Africa, Europe, New Zealand, Canada, everywhere you can think of. Go to our YouTube channel. These kids, these children are phenomenal. So if you have children or know of children that are between the ages of 13 and 19, they can send in a one-minute videotape to HLNTVshow@gmail.com. They can win prizes and money. We hit the little guy on from John Legend. Oh, who sounds like John Legend? He won the $500. Oh, and we were celebrating Harold Washington's birthday. We gave away a $500 scholarship. What was his name? Kelvin Dukes. And you can see that on our YouTube channel. So be sure and send, you know some children, 13 to 19. So have them send us a one-minute video clip, and we can share that. We got comments this morning. Grand Rising Beautiful Queen Teacher, looking forward to another marvelous show. Thank you. That is Naima Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. And I forgot to tell you that this is the cocoa that we order, hot cocoa, because we like to keep it warm. I ordered it for myself, and it was so much of it, I was like, oh, my God, what are we going to do with all this? So we take it out there to the homeless, and they love it. So this is what we do for the homeless. So my question to you is, what are you doing for the homeless? When you see them on the street, do you turn your nose up at them? I hope not, because you know why? What goes around comes around. And we don't want that. What we do want at 7:30 is to be joined by a filmmaker, activist, author, man who has blessed us with his presence. And I got a surprise for him. He don't know. But I'm going to tell you. No, I'm not going to laugh at the commercial break. Paymon Rami, coming up at the 7:30 hour, so you'll be right after this break. Stay close. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Okay.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free.
So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Beata.
About finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth. Solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Grand Rising, and welcome back to The Female Solution. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks. Welcome to Morning Mindfulness, and I have been joined with the man himself, Paymon Rami. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me tell you just a little bit about this man. There is so much. There's just so much. This is really going to surprise him as well as a few of us are listening. But let me tell you a little bit about the event that's coming up. This man does not know who. I'm just going to read. This is going to tell you a little bit about this book. When Blackness Was Golden. This is a new book that's out. It's launching May 3rd at the Woodson Regional Library, 95th and Halsted. But let me share with you a little bit about the event, and it's going to be coming up May 3rd, and it's on my blog, so you can go there and see it, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. But When Blackness Was Golden thrust readers into an era where African-American culture, pride, and love ruled supreme. Do you hear me? In this chronicle of his coming of age in Bronzeville, Paymon Rami. Is that me or somebody else? Okay, hopefully that's not me. That was you. Okay, well, let me go back here. I am reading here. Oh, about the event. Okay. Let me go back. In this chronicle of his coming of age in Bronzeville, Paymon Rami portrays a caring, neighborly Chicago many have never known. The camaraderie and kinship he developed in Stateway Gardens housing projects laid the foundation for his life's work. One of the architects of the Black Arts Movement, Paymon, innately committed to protest social and political injustices. His influence continues to reverberate around the world, particularly in the U.S., the U.K., Brazil, Haiti, Africa, Trinidad, and Tobago. To quote film director and producer Mr. Robert Townsend from Hollywood Shuffle, I know you remember him, from the book Forward, as you read this book, Mr. Rami gives you a front row seat as he brushes shoulders with the who's who of literary, political, and civil rights activists who have changed the course of history for black people in this country. Now, that's about the book, but what about the man? Do you know anything about the man? Well, I have an idea of what it's about, but I'm going to let him tell you about the man, and then we're going to go in and take your questions at 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. I'm so excited. I just got to show you this, Raymond. Oh, my goodness, you're gonna trip out. Okay, here we go. Come on, Zell. Come on, Zell. Slow down. What you know about that? What you know about that? All right.
Wow. Hang on the low end. I love it.
Yes, sir. You know we have a reunion. You notice I said we. Because I kept looking at your face. I was like, I know him from back in the day from somewhere. I don't know where. And when you said Stateway Gardens, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Are you serious? Yes, I know this man from Stateway God, so thank you so much. I'm so excited. I'm crying this morning. Oh, my goodness. This is just wonderful. This is like 360 degrees. I'm sorry. I digress. Wow. What made you write this book? Well, I know we came from an era when things were calm. You know, we could go to sleep, leave our doors open. We didn't even have keys. Latchkey kids. We weren't that because we didn't need that. We could leave our doors open. So I'd like to hear, and I'm sure the viewers would like to hear your experience.
Well, first of all, thank you again for having me. And for those people that don't know, low-end basically related to the number of streets, not the condition under which we live.
Thank you.
And so we just want to sort of clarify that. I decided to write the book for two reasons. One, I was part of a lecture series with some young people. And one of the things they said is that the elders had not left them a roadmap. And they were being critical of the relationship between generations. And what I said to them was that what we left for you were books, a lot of which we didn't have when we were trying to effect change as we were coming up. But what we had instead was a love that had persevered through slavery. It had persevered through Jim Crow. It had persevered through the separation of our family and children. But in spite of all of that, we still maintain the respect and love for ourselves. And what you begin to see within the process is that we begin to separate ourselves from ourselves so that as we look at media, for example, we have the tendency to feel, and this is something I'm just going to go on like, because I hate to generalize, but in this case I'm going to. Whenever there's a story on TV about someone being injured or robbed or carjacked, a lot of us automatically think that they're black people and that we have all of the conditions and all the problems, and a lot of that has to do with two things. One, we don't control the media, so we don't control our narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, we have to take the responsibility for telling and articulating our own stories. I once heard H.R.F. Brown, and H.R.F. Brown told the story, which is based on an African proverb, which is called Father and Son. And the father and son are talking, and the son says to the father, "Daddy, you tell me that the lion is the king of the jungle, yet in every book I read, the man always kills the lion. Father, why is that so?" So the father looks at his son and says, "Until the lion learns to write, the story will always be the same." And I couldn't be critical of other people unless I put some skin in the game and begin to articulate a story of which I was one of the few people that could tell. For better or for worse, I happened to be a conduit from Camp Calloway to Theodore Ward to Oscar Brown Jr. And the rapper. All of them, at one point or another, worked with me. And so being able to articulate their story and to look at Chicago in a different way. When I mentioned about Stanway Gardens, when we moved out of the tenements, let me just talk about two different stories before I go into that.
Okay.
The first is that there was the second Chicago fire after the first one that most people don't know about. So the first Chicago fire is when people talked about O'Leary's cow, you know, kicked over the ladder and burnt down half the city. 2 years later, the black community burned down, which was around Archer Avenue and coming south to around 24th. With that fire, it began to develop what is ultimately to become Bronzeville. And so we began to shift out of these tenement buildings into areas that were built that were better than the ones where we were living. So when my father found a rat in my younger brother's crib, he decided that it was time for us to move out of that building, and we moved out to Stanway Gardens, which had incredible facilities. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, basketball, baseball. The park just was full of classes that you could take. There were men living there. There was baseball. There were people that were there was a lady named Miss Wright that lived in our building, and I talked about her in the book, because she was the early neighborhood watch. Miss Wright would tell on everybody, but our parents would know that she would tell on everybody. So,
which building were you living in? Excuse
3651.
Me. 3651. That's my building! Apartment 907. When you said Miss Wright, is that Betty Wright?
I don't remember her first name. She was on the first floor, and she had a lot of children.
Oh, I just met her, not met her, reacquainted with her about a 2 weeks ago. I'll tell you that story, but go ahead and finish this. Oh, my goodness.
Miss Wright kept us in order.
Yes,
you know,
she did.
She used to be sitting outside, and whenever we did something wrong, she would not only call us on it, but she would later in the day call our parents and tell them what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kept ourselves in check.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a point, the prior districts changed their rules. They changed the rules to eliminate basically men being there, because when they infused the welfare system, it meant that you had to be in a single household.
Uh huh.
And so what that ultimately ended up doing was it forced a lot of the men out of Stateway Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then the gangs began to take over,
mm-hmm,
because there was no men there. And so I wanted to make sure that not only did I write about the times, but I also had the opportunity to remember people that should not go should not be forgotten. And then there are too many people in our historic DNA that we don't remember, that we pay no attention to. And so it became part of a libation for people like Hoyt Fuller, who started Negro Digest, artists like Oman Lama, musicians like the majority of people that played with the Artistic Heritage Ensemble that ultimately became Earth, Wind, and Fire. A lot of them are no longer here. All the founders of the DuSable Museum, the founders of the Southside Community Arts Center, they have all long passed, but those institutions remain. And they remain because the community stood up and made sure that they existed.
Mm.
And we don't give our communities enough credit for that.
Mm. Say that. You are up. Right on point. I remember everything you just said, especially as it relates to the activities that we had at the center right there. I took piano lessons. I took ballet. This is where I learned grace and style. They don't even teach that anymore. It's like, it's just let it all hang out. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Betty Wright. Okay, so there were two Wright families. So the Wright, I knew all the, I can't remember her name. But there was also a Betty Wright who lived on the fourth floor. Her daughter, Deborah Wright, was my best girlfriend. Anthony Wright. Anthony Wright, did you know about his friend or he just passed? His funeral was two weeks ago. And that was just such an experience. What was the girl? Debbie. I met Debbie. Lived on the first floor.
Debbie Wright. Yeah, it was a lot of them.
They could have had
their own gang. You know?
Yes. And there was no gang.
No, you know, that didn't happen until the later 60s. And part of what I write about in the book about that is there came a point in Stateway Gardens where the city decided to split the project in half and send half of the young people to Raymond School, and then the other half, from 37th to 39th, continued to go to Christmas Attucks.
Yes.
But what that ultimately ended up doing was the same thing that North Vietnam and South Vietnam did.
Mm.
Same thing that North Korea and South. When you separate people and you put these imaginary boundaries in place, then you create a situation where they begin to affect each other in strange ways. And so families ended up joining separate gangs because where they were living, where they were situated. And what that basically meant is that if you had a girlfriend that lived, you know, between 37th and 35th, and you lived between 37th and 39th, you all had to break up.
Yes.
You know, because it was too dangerous for you to travel in that direction.
Yes.
And so there was a study that was done in Germany in the 1930s by a guy named Calhoun. It's called the Rat Experiment. And he did this experiment based around having life develop in controlled conditions when there was no limit to resources, just a limit to space. And so he did this experiment, and what happened as population grew, and it did in this rat colony, they began to change their behavior. They began to eat each other.
Mm.
They began to manifest homosexual behavior. they began to neglect their children. They began to fight in different ways. So that's the same thing that ultimately happened in the projects themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, you know, before the projects were built, they knew what these conditions were going to create.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they did exactly mm-hmm. what was demonstrated in that rat experiment.
That's why it was called the projects.
Yeah.
Because it
yeah.
was a project.
Yeah. And it was a way of separating people and
yes.
keeping them contained. And so you look at real estate between 22nd Street and 54th with thousands of families in each one of those buildings and no place to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no place to spread out. And then they also begin to cut services. And the money was stolen. The money that was set aside for upkeep in the housing projects was ultimately stolen
mm-hmm.
by one guy even went to prison for it. And so it began to fall apart because of neglect.
Oh. Yeah, I do remember services changing, things that we once had we no longer had, especially as it relates to, because every floor had a laundry room on it.
Right.
And we could go in there and do our laundry. I stayed in apartment 907. Which one did you stay in?
We were in 201.
201. Debbie Jackson was her name.
Okay.
The Jacksons on the first floor. Debbie Jackson.
Yeah.
Just ran into her after 50-plus years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the Spencer Jackson family lived on the third floor. That was the religious singing group.
Oh.
And so that was Spencer Jackson, Elaine Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I remember them.
Ella Pearl Jackson.
Yes.
And they were the, you know, one of the hottest music groups in Chicago until these Staple Singers, you know, sort of exploded on the scene.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah, but they were there. And what some people might not know is that in 1966, Martin Luther King came to stay with Gardens to speak.
Wow, I didn't know that.
The hill that was right outside of the Park District, they said they set up a table, and it was before he spoke at Soldiers Field. He came to stay with first. And Ellen, who was part of the singing Spencer Jackson family, came knocked on my door and said, "The King was on the hill." And I thought she was talking about the King of England. I had no idea who she was talking about. And so I go out and I hear this man, and he's Martin Luther King, and he's incredible. And he's eloquent, and he's got this voice. And then at the end of his speech, he said, "And we're going to march to Gage Park and Marquette Park and Cicero." And I said, "I'm going home. This man's crazy." Because we understood the danger. And the conditions that we ran into when we went into those communities.
Mm-hmm.
And he even said at the end of his time in Chicago that he felt more hatred here than he had felt even in the South.
Really?
Yeah, he did. And there's a story that I talk about in the book where we were Little League baseball players.
I remember that.
And I was 8 or 9 years old, and we went to Comiskey Park to see the White Sox playing, and after the game, we went out what would be considered the wrong exit.
Mm.
It was the exit on the west side of the building, which put us in Bridgeport, which was the community where the Daly family lived. So we go out. There's a little park right behind the baseball park, and we were throwing our balls around, and we were playing, and the community came out with bricks and baseball bats and started calling us names and throwing things at us and ran us out.
I remember those days.
And ran us out of the community. And being that young, we didn't know what we had done. You know, we had no clue as to why these people were acting like they were acting. But it was my first introduction to racism.
And we didn't know it was racism at that point. We just know that there were limitations that we had on us that we could not, there were things that we could and could not do.
Yeah, but the difference was, and this is part of the reason why I called the book Blackness from Golden, the difference was we had all of the resources in our community that we needed.
Mm-hmm.
We had so many black businesses. We had black insurance companies. there were banks, there were businesses that we owned, there were nightclubs that we could go to in our community. And when those were eliminated, and we were sort of forced into this integration into areas where we weren't wanted or appreciated, our lives began to change in different ways. But one of the sad things is that I had my grandson here at one point, and I wanted to take him to see the things that I had grown up with as a child, to share those memories. And they were all gone.
Ooh.
They had been torn down. Where my grandmother lived in Britain was not considered Bridgeport. We grew up in 56 in Indiana before we moved to Stateway Gardens. That whole community was torn down. Stateway Gardens, everything associated with that was torn down.
It's now Park Place.
Yeah, and all the businesses that were around there, all the nightclubs, all of the storefronts that we used to control, all of those things were destroyed. And so as a result, the South Side looks nothing like what it used to look like.
Nothing.
And that's
like
not
it.
Even taking into consideration gentrification, because that's another thing. But when you take a community that is historic, and you gut it, you end up with vacant lots and lost dreams, lost connections to our history, in ways that we will never recover.
You are absolutely right. Well, we will continue this conversation with Paymon Rami. That's why I could never, ever figure out where I knew you from, because the name is what threw me off. I knew the face, but I just couldn't figure it. So we're going to take a quick break when we come back, and we'll continue this discussion. If you want to call in, 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. But if you're tired of them, let me say this nicely, abusing your dollars, then listen to this commercial, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to QuickClick, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend, so she decides to list her products on QuickClick. On QuickClick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickClick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique Quick Link that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's Quick Link on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's Quick Link, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own Quick Link and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But Quick Link is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickClick rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickClick makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
This is the website that we use in order to raise funds for the homeless, why we buy the hot chocolate and the noni juice, so just so you'll know.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage, or give us a call at 646-359-6605, and we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Vivi Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And that is the lineup of the Female Solution. We are live here 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 9 a.m. on Central Standard Time on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 9 a.m. And on Saturday, we're not up that early. We might be up, but we're not on the air. Saturday's 12 noon until 2 p.m. and Sunday evening, 7 until 9 p.m., and that is Soul Purpose Healing last night with Viata Robinson, my sister from another mister. Got to go back and see that show. And all the shows that you like, they're always in the archives. But right now we want to continue the conversation with our brother, Paymon Rami, author of Yes, When Blackness Was Golden. It still is. It's just not like the way it used to be. Nothing is like the way it used to be. But you have the most fascinating story, and the events that you have hosted, participated in. I would like to ask you a few questions, if you would, if you don't mind. Who does this book appeal to, and is it a multi-generational read? Because, you know, we're old school, so how is this going to apply to the new school generation? Why do they need to read this book?
As I was constructing the book, I wanted to take it through my own age groups as the 10 years of each section move forward. So I started in the 1950s as a young man, and what happened within that process. Then in the 60s, we became more involved with the development of the Black Power and Black Arts Movement. So as young people and adults look at the book, they should be able to see not only the community in which they found themselves, but also the need and desire for young people to strike out and find their way.
Mm.
I would not be sitting here talking to you if it wasn't for the number of mentors that stepped up to help me in my path.
Mm.
And it was so many of them, and I think the reason that they did it was because they felt that it wouldn't be wasted.
Mm.
You know, that's one thing that you don't want to do. But I want to step all the way back to something else that you said, that you did earlier. Your program, I listened to it before I came on, and you were dealing with stress relief. And people need to really tune into that, because stress in many ways in the Black community is a silent killer, and we don't deal with it in the way that we should. And so there was a period in my life when I was doing movies, and I had a TV show we were doing, and we had a radio show, and we were putting out magazines. And I did a little movie called The Blues Brothers. And I did the casting for Blues Brothers, and we were getting through it, I ended up having my eye infected, my throat was closing, I was having all kinds of issues, and I went to the doctor, and he said it's all stress.
Wow.
Everything is related to stress, and unless you change your approach to the work that you do, you're going to end up killing yourself.
Wow.
Because the stress of it is wearing on every part of your body.
Wow.
And so I ended up shifting my life to, it actually ended up becoming, I had this notion that I said, okay, well, I'm doing all this stuff, I'll just go direct plays instead.
Okay.
And I'll go around catching, and I did, and I got all these offers, and then that became stressful too, you know.
Of course.
But I at least was able to control how I deal with things. And so the message, I think, for people is that no one can make you mad. You allow that to happen. Now, somebody can do something to you that you don't appreciate and all of that.
Right.
How you respond viscerally to it, that's on you. And so I just wanted to go back and commend you on not only the show, but also on your work in terms of helping people understand the importance of dealing with stress and the breathing exercises that you were doing earlier are extremely important.
Thank you so very much for that. And let me share with you how that began, because it was not my intention to do that. I'm doing the show here one day, and Spirit just told me to start doing deep breathing. And I was like, I'm on air. I can't be doing no deep breathing. People are looking at me like I'm crazy. And here I am telling people all the time, don't worry about other people. Think about you. What they think about you is none of your business. And here I am having this conversation in my head live on the air. So thank you so very much for that. That is a result of listening to the spirit that is within. Because I was going through some stressful times, and I was like, if it'll help me, it'll help somebody else. And that's what this book does. And I love this. I can't wait to get my copy of it. Black.
It does that because, you know, it's important that we tell our stories. And so as I was dealing with the book, I first wrote about what we did during that era and what were the activities and the things and the institutions and the projects that we did. And then I went back and I looked at it again. I said, okay, so now I need to talk about why we did what we did, because that's a different bridge.
Mm.
And then finally, I ended up writing about how I felt about what we did and why we did it. Because all of those things relate to what we ultimately become. And so the only reason that you change your mission, for example, is if you have accomplished it. If you say, my mission is to get to California, and you end up in Oklahoma, you have not completed the mission.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to change the mission. You have to figure out how to get to California.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have to continue to work in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the people that I talk about in the book are folks that contributed heavily to ultimately what we became, and a lot of them, we might not even know their names.
Mm.
For example, Hammurabi Rob is someone that, because you asked me who else did I write the book for and why did I write the book for them. I also wanted historians and scholars to realize that who you identify as heroes are not necessarily our heroes, nor are they the people that we think or should be paying homage to. Right? That's for us to do. So I remember hearing Wadsworth Gerald, who was one of the artists of the Wall of Respect, and Wadsworth said, you know, every time he would Google Wall of Respect, their names wouldn't come up.
Mm.
Names that would come up would be the white scholars that have written about them rather than getting the words of the people that created them in the first place.
Yes, sir. Say that.
So we have an obligation in many ways to do that. And so I wanted to make sure that people like Hammurabi was remembered. He started a group, was part of a group called The Letters in the early 1900s. And ultimately started a place called the House of Knowledge on 37th and right off of Michigan. He was the history, ultimately, behind the DuSable Museum. Dr. Burroughs was an artist, and she was a writer, but she wasn't a historian. That came out of Hammurabi Rob and the years of research that he had done and the writings that he had done. And so we need to remember people like that. And then there's just a ton of them. Phil Coran and what he did at the Afro Arts Theater. There's a cultural map that I did in the book, which covers from the 1960s until the 1980s, the black institutions that existed on the South Side that a lot of people don't even know were there.
Right.
For example, there was an African temple called Ile Ife, which was on 31st between Prairie and Indiana. Then you have the first African-American History Museum, the Tusavo on Michigan. You have the first African-American Art Center, South Side Community Art Center, which was on, which is still existing today and celebrating 80 years on Michigan Avenue. You had the first black hospital on Federal in Providence, the first black nursing school. The first black ballpark was at 39th, where the Dan Ryan is now. That was owned by Rube Foster. You had the first black theater developed here, the Pekin on 24th
Street. Ooh, yes!
We had the first black film company, William Foster, that he started in 1910, the first black film company, and he was one of the people that gave mentoring to Oscar Michel, who became the godfather of black film. But a lot of that stuff came out of Chicago. The Topographical Research Center, which was on 75th Street. There's so many institutions where we can go and have intellectual discourse and talk about our conditions and try to figure out what it is that we needed to do. The Communiversity, which was housed inside of the Abraham Lincoln Center on 39th Street. So all these institutions existed, and we had the opportunity to go to celebrate free people and to learn. So that's where I heard John Henry Clark and Stokely Carmichael and C.L. James from the UNIA, and I could just go on and on down the list of people that were here. Then we had black bookstores. Ella's Bookstore, which was on Cottage Grove, and A.J. Williams Bookstore, which was on 79th. And as I was writing the book, I came across this memo from J. Edgar Hoover that he wrote about making sure that black bookstores were investigated and, if possible, shut down because he wanted to find out what black people were reading, and it was motivating us in the wrong direction. So they set out to destroy most of the black bookstores that existed, you know. So, and a lot of people don't know that, for example, Erskine Coleman had the Golden Shears bookstore the Golden Shears barbershop on 79th Street. It was the first barbershop to cut natural hair in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And it became known as the Golden Shears because people celebrated the natural work that he was doing. But it goes on and on and on, from the DuSable to the Chicago Defender to WVON. I mean, to the founding of Chicago by Jean-Baptiste Pointe-DuSable, to the black mayor that was here. There's so much rich cultural heritage that I decided it was important to focus on the good part of that. There are those things that have been detrimental to us as a people.
And I always said that, well, in my older years, that I don't believe that segregation was the best thing for us. In many ways, it has crippled us.
And you mean integration?
Yes. What did I say?
You said segregation.
Yeah, integration. I said that wrong. And it shows up in society right today because of what happened 50 years ago. I'm thinking for young people who would see this, like, what does that have to do with me? That's 50 years. That's before I've been born. Why is that even important? Tell them why that's important. They need to know.
Let's use sports as an example. There was a period where we had what was called the Negro Leagues. And there were a number of black millionaires that were associated with the Negro League.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Robinson was hired by the Dodgers, taken into the major league. One man got a job, we lost the industry. And so as a result of that, when Jackie Robinson went over, the black audiences that used to go to sporting events stopped going. They stopped going to the major parks. And so all of the vendors that were around the black ballparks, all the black folks that were making their uniforms, their bats, their gloves, all of them went out of business. The printing companies that would print their posters and notices, all of that stuff went out of business so we can get a few people jobs. And that reflects in almost every field. We still today are saying this is the first, as if that's an accomplishment.
Mm.
And what it really is a reflection of what racism and separation has done.
Mm.
I did a quote in the book that said, the only way that you can keep black people from achieving is not to allow them to participate.
Okay, because everything we participate in, we pretty much take it over.
We do. And that's from science.
Yes.
To sports.
Yes.
From math to running to almost every given field.
Mm-hmm.
I said this at a lecture not too long ago. I said that whenever I go into a white business, of any sort, anywhere, and I see a black person in a high position, I realize that they're the best at what they do.
Mm, say that.
Because if they weren't, they wouldn't be there.
Mm.
If I walk into a black institution and I see a white person there, I know they didn't have anything else that they could do. Because they would prefer to work at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Yeah, you know,
but
I know.
All they could do was find a job at the DeSalle.
Right.
We're in a different space, and so we have to appreciate the quality of what we bring to the table. And secondly, we have to understand it's still important for us to support ourselves. It's extremely important. Without voices like yours, without media, where do we get our information? We are so confused by what is online. One of the things about the pandemic, I did a film called 93 Days, which I produced, that we shot in Nigeria, starring Danny Glover. And it deals with the Ebola crisis and what happened when Ebola came into Nigeria. Now, Ebola is a more dangerous disease than coronavirus. It's much worse. And I don't want to go into a lot of details about that. However, only 8 people died in Nigeria, in a city in Lagos where they had 26 million people. Very few people died. Now, why was that? It's because they had a single voice. They had a government that didn't get out and try to politicize it. They had doctors that were, and their medical community come together and determine how they were going to deal with it. And as a result, the only people that died were some of the doctors that treated the patients, the young lady that was cleaning up the room, and some of the other wards that worked there. But it kept it from being and spreading around the world, which is what it would have done. I mention that because it's important that we articulate stories that show the best of us. Even in bad times, we need to see the best of us. And you just put it up on screen, yes, 93 days. It was, I was in Nigeria for 3 months shooting this, and 4 months in total. And it was an incredible experience. And to drive through Lagos and see a billboard, a gigantic billboard with my name on it, as the producer of the film, was extraordinary.
Yeah, I know that. I know that had to be something special.
No, it was. It was special. And out of all the things that I've done, and I've received a lot of awards for different things, but that can't beat it. You know. An Oscar would not beat it.
Mm.
For me. Somebody else they might.
Is that Danny Glover?
That is Danny Glover, yes.
Was that shown here in the United States?
It was. As a matter of fact, it was on Netflix and on Amazon Prime I mean, I think it's still available on Amazon Prime, I think. But it just came down off of Amazon after 2 years, a few months ago.
Wow, 93 days. So we've got to go find that and watch that because I'd never heard of that one and never knew we had a black filmmaker. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So kudos and thank you so very much for that, for the work that you do that we may or may have not known. That is awesome. Comment here, we've got my sister from another Mr. Vieta Robinson, Grand Rising Beautiful Souls. Yes, he is a beautiful soul. That he is. Well, yes, we are. And thank you so much for sharing that information this morning. If you want to join the conversation this morning, we'd love to hear what you have to say. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. And if you're on social media, yes, we're on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. Oh, YouTube, we had to change our name. So it's YouTube Higher Learning TV Show. And on Facebook, it's HLNTV1. My guest today is the only, one and only Paymon Romney. When blackness was golden. I remember in the 70s, baby, that big old fro. I didn't. My mom was a beautician. She had a beauty shop. So our hair was relaxed, and I hated it because I always wanted to wear a fro because everybody else was wearing a fro. You know, you're at that age, you're impressionable. But it was just a time when, it was even celebrated on television, on the commercial. You know, they were touting us black power, with the fork, the pick, and get rid of the perm and get your fro back. And I was like, oh, okay, this is all right. Those days are long gone. Our sisters are suffering from hair diseases because of all the perm. You know, I perm my hair for 50 years, so I know what that's like. And all of this is gone. All this hair around here is gone. You know, it's bald in the top. And I say that not to make light of the situation like alopecia, but to bring awareness because those chemicals over a period of years are in your brain. It's in your heart, liver, lungs, spleen, spine. It's in your whole system. And you wonder why you act the way you act, and there's just no reason for it.
You know, people... And I love India Irie. She's one of my favorite performers. But we are our hair. And I know she sang the song, I've got my hair, but technically we are our hair. And if you look historically at people, dark-skinned people around the world, a lot of the discrimination is based on hair texture.
Yes, it is.
It is. And for us to say that My straightening my hair is not testimony to anything other than me being me. It's craziness. You know, we have a friend who's a set designer in major motion pictures and television. And he called me one day and said, you know that these people told me I need to shave. I said, wait, but you're not on camera. He said, no. He said, but they said they get intimidated by a black man with a beard that goes into these offices. And so my agent wants me to shave. So that got me to thinking about black men.
Mm.
We historically talk about black women and the fact that they straighten their hair, and men used to do that when they used to process their hair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But black men's response to black women's straightening their hair is cutting our hair off. And so what you find with a lot of black people is they eliminate the naturalness of their hair by cutting it off completely or by keeping it so short that it looks like it's not as kinky as it ought to be. And so we have historically had this issue with anything that is appreciation of us
mm-hmm.
in our natural selves.
Mm-hmm.
And so as an artist, we have an obligation to restore us to our traditional greatness.
Yes, we do.
We have an obligation to do that. And so what I say to young people a lot is that if you are, whatever it is that you're considering doing, whether you're going to write a book, whether you're going to, do a part in a movie, whatever you're going to do, you have to consider that thing is going to be in a time capsule.
Mm.
And in 200 years or 300 years, your great-great-great-grandchildren are going to open it. Mm. And that's going to be their only reflection of what you are and who you are.
Wow.
So do you still play that part?
Mm.
Do you still write that poem or sing that song?
Mm.
Because it's going to be around a long time after we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So someone asked me not too long ago about, you know, well, why don't I know more about the projects that you've done? You haven't done that many blockbusters. So what I did in the early days, I mean, in the early days I did Blues Brothers, Mahogany, Coolie Eye, Uptown Saturday Night, Three Tough Guys, the Robert Collins story. But then I realized in the process that it wasn't helping us. Like what were they doing in terms of helping us with our lives? A lot of the money that was being made by the studios.
Mm-hmm.
We were being underpaid, undertreated. The imagery that was being created in these movies was sad, if not disingenuous in terms of their appreciation for us.
Mm.
And so I decided that I would use my art as a communicator. So I don't consider myself a filmmaker. I consider myself a storyteller.
Okay.
So I have told stories in every medium, whether it's radio, television, theater, film, books, magazines. It doesn't matter what medium you put it in. What matters is what you want to say and how you articulate. So we've done over 300 industrial films related to medicine. I did the first open-eye surgery. I did one of the first surgeries on a tennis elbow. Most of the early work around endoscopic procedures. And so we spent a lot of time doing that. We did projects for the Department of Aging, the Department of Education. We did a project called Follow Your Dream, which was about non-traditional careers for girls, to encourage them to consider going into different occupations. So our work has been that of trying to continue to educate and then to create things that should be around for a long period of time. And so one other little quick story. So this friend of mine has a new movie out. It's called Akaba. And it's been going around the festivals. It's been winning awards. And I spoke to her the other day, and I finally saw it.
How do you spell the movie?
A-K-A-W-A-B-A. A-K-A-W-A-B-A. You know, two A's on the end. Sybil Jata is the producer. J-A-T-T-A. So anyway, Sybil does this project, and they took a group called the Trailblazers to Africa on a trip to Ghana. And she shot it as part of the trip. So when she got back, she was told that by the head of the Babu, who's the head of the Pan-African Film Festival, that she didn't have enough detail. It wasn't enough Africa in our African project, so she needed to go back and shoot some more. So they went back. They went back to Rwanda. They went to Tanzania. They went to Gambia. Went back to Ghana and someplace else. So anyway, they're in Gambia. And they're in Gambia, and the teacher there says, we would like for our students to perform for you. And so she said, oh, okay. So they go into this room, and the kids start performing, and they sing a song called Hey Black Child, which is from a musical that we created in 1973 called The Black Fairy. So to see these kids singing our song, and Sybil didn't even know that it was something that we had worked on or that we had produced, but to see them singing this song about Hey Black, it's Hey Black Child, do you know who you are, who you really are?
Mm.
You can be what you want to be if you try to be what you can be.
This is the movie
be
that I found.
Child, where you going. Yeah, and so it was originally written as a poem. We converted it into a musical. And they're singing it, and they're still singing it today in Africa.
Wow, that
still
is.
Still black kids are still being motivated by that piece.
That is powerful.
And that is powerful, and that's why we do what we do. So, yeah.
Wow, that is powerful. Thank you for sharing that information. I can't wait to go and see it. And I know you can't wait to see it, too. And I know you can't wait to get those questions in because the phone are lit up. We got to take some calls. Paymon, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. Let's take our last quick break, and we will be right back to get your calls.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
We're on air everywhere, online all the time. And here is our last promo for the day.
Welcome to QuickLink, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend. So she decides to list her products on QuickLink. On QuickLink, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickLink marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique QuickLink that she can share with friends to begin earning quick cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's QuickLink on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's QuickLink, Laura receives quick cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own QuickLink and begin earning quick cash as well. But QuickLink is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickLink rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickLink makes, Laura will earn additional quick cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
And that is the information that I wanted to share with you for QuickClick. If you are interested in donating for the homeless, but you want to see something for your money, then that might be something that you might want to participate in. And the updates are always on my blog on zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. And that is what we do for the homeless. And when I say we, I mean the higherlearningnetwork.org. And we make it our mission to help those in need. My little brother, Douglas Robinson, was murdered February 19, 2019 in Tent City right here in Chicago. And I had no idea that there was so much homelessness. All of these homeless people showed up at his funeral, and I was like, I have got to keep in contact. Spirit just put that on my heart. So this is what I've been driven to do. This is just one of the products, the hot chocolate we take that we order, and we're getting residual income from this because this is the new Amazon. Amazon ain't paying me a dime. I've been shopping with them for years. But this hot chocolate and the noni juice, we only order what we need, and we share that with the homeless, and you can share that too. Now, back to the show. Mayor Harold Washington this past weekend, it was his legacy. I had to go grab this out the hallway because he celebrated. He was the best mayor the city of Chicago ever had. And he, a lot of people don't know this, but he started the PACE project for seniors. You get a little older, you these things are important to you when you can't get around. So thank you, the late former mayor of Chicago, Harold Washington. He did it. Yes, he did. And I'll be glad when Willie Wilson gets in there so he can do something too, because the current administration, I digress. Anyway, I was in the hallway and I saw this, and I thought you'd get a bang out of this. I know I did. Can you see that?
Your ring.
That's a picture in apartment 907. That's my little brother Douglas on the left. That's me in the middle with a record in my hand, and that's my older brother with a guitar in his hand.
I love it.
The only picture I have of me as a child, and it's in black and white, too. How about that? Wow. You have brought back some memories, but I digress. I'll do that all day, and I don't want to do that because we got calls we need to take. If you are one of those calls, you'd like to join the conversation this morning with Pinam Rami on Monday Morning Mindfulness. He is the author of When Blackness Was Golden. Let's go to the phone lines, 407-701. You're live on The Female Solution. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what's your comment or question for our author here?
Grand Rising, my sister. This is Viata in Orlando, Florida.
Grand Rising.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, brother, for your contribution to our history and especially Chicago. I grew up in Hyde Park. My father, Sherman Howard, was a coach at Harlan High School for almost 30 years. And as I listened to your history telling, my father was in the NFL. He was drafted to go into the NFL, and only two black men were on the Cleveland Browns team for a couple of years. And like you said, he was the best. When you see two black men on an all-white team, he was the best, and he proved that. And then he had a shoulder injury. But he had a desire to go back into the community when his career ended. So he went to Harlan High School, and he influenced so many students. A lot of them were white because Harlan High School back in the 60s was mostly white. And he was he was a black coach there. And to this very day, I have always heard, and I wrote a book about my dad, and I always heard from his white students about what a great man he was. So he made an impact, and I think I'm asking you a question. Why is it, or do you see part of the problem with blacks going into a white environment that they don't go back into the community and teach or share what they learned? Because that was my father's passion, was after his experience with an all-white team in the NFL and all-white in the University of Nevada, he was one of the best at all-white team. He had a desire to go back into the black community and help in Hyde Park, and not just Hyde Park, but in all Chicago. He was influential in all of Chicago. And I grew up in Hyde Park YMCA. That was an integrated environment. And for me, that environment at Hyde Park not only taught me athletics, but it taught me how to get along with white folks, because that was totally integrated. So there's benefits of being in an all-white environment. There's benefits of growing up. So what is your thought about how these days professionals, to me, are not going back into the black community, many of them, to bring up their brothers and sisters? What's your thought on that?
Thank you for your question, and I commend your father for the work that he decided to do. You know, I think our biggest problem as a people is our lack of control of media. Because a lot of times what we think we don't do, we really truly do, except we don't know we do it.
Mm.
Because people only talk about the negative that comes about as an association. I mentioned the Southside Community Arts Center. which is celebrating 80, I think it's 81st year this year, either 80 or 81st. And a lot of the founding artists there went to the Art Institute. But when they finished studying at the Art Institute, they would go to the Southside Community Arts Center and teach what they learned there to the students that were coming behind them. And there are a lot of people that do that. We just don't know it. You know, it's not pushed the same way. And we're not encouraged. So when we came back to Chicago, my wife and I, who I really should mention, we've been married for 47 years coming up and have been working together for 51.
What's her name?
Her name is Masekwa.
Masekwa
Irons, yeah.
I know Masekwa. She introduced me to Isaiah Washington. We did an interview when he was here. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's my longtime business partner and wife.
Oh, beautiful. Please give her our love.
I most certainly
She's
will.
Doing phenomenal things.
She is. And so, you know, part of, I think, the reason our relationship works is because we both have an immense respect for each other. And it's in respecting the other person that's with you that you can support them without levels of jealousy and without having a disregard for who they are.
Mm.
So there are times in our lives where I'm the lead. There are times in our lives where she's the lead.
Mm.
And if she's producing, I work for her. If I'm producing, she works for me.
I love it.
And we've been able to sort of get along with doing that. But to the young lady's question, I think that her father came about as a result of us being in these environments where we're really poorly treated. And we're not treated the way that we should be. So we have to prove ourselves every step along the way.
Mm.
Have to go through a litmus test that nobody else would be sent to.
Mm-mm.
A lot of the people that work for, that are our bosses, are less than we are in terms of intelligence and understanding and knowledge of even what we're doing, or talent, but we're responsible to them. So you're in these environments. How do you get out of those and maintain your sanity?
Mm.
There is a thing where black people, especially black students, when they're dealing with being bipolar, a lot of that comes about in college. It's later than you would think. And some of that, I think, has to do with the fact that we take our children, we throw them into these unsafe environments. They're struggling by themselves. They're in it for the first time where they realize that they might not necessarily be the best at the top of their class at the college, and they have no levels of support. And so we have to be very cautious about who we turn our children over to.
Yes, we do.
The other part of that is, that what happened with, and to go back to your notion about integration, when we were able to go to colleges around the country, we sent out a lot of our children and they never came back.
Mm.
And so where we used to have, you know, these Thanksgiving dinners and everybody was sitting around because, you know, my sister when my sister graduated from a college, she went to college here in the city. You know, she went to teacher's college, and after she taught at the grammar school where we grew up. She taught at Christmas Attucks. And so we were all connected. But now, my grandchildren are all over the place. You know, our family is everywhere, and we just don't have the kind of connection that we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
So what I suggest to people is that we take the time to find the good in us and talk about it as much as we possibly can.
Does that answer your question?
So, one more question about Chicago. I live in Florida. I'm glad to be in Florida. What do you see as part of the solution to all the violence in Chicago? That's one of the reasons I'm not interested in going back to Chicago. What do you see as part of the solution? I know there's not one solution, but what do you see as the problem and the solutions with the violence in Chicago? I grew up there, and I see how it's escalated, but what's your idea about that?
Well, the first thing we have to realize is that Chicago is not even in the top five of cities in terms of violence. That is not to take away from the fact that we are suffering here, but it is a national epidemic in terms of violence. And what you find is I think that there's a two-part solution. One, people have to be able to have a value for life. And value for life comes about as a result of having a future that you can see that is positive. If you are in an environment where you have no hope, where you have no opportunity to look at tomorrow, then you have no regard for people today. And so part of it, I think, is that we have to do a better job at showing young people what their future should be. We have to do a better job of providing resources, because what we're looking at now is going to be worse as time moves forward, because we have more people that are poor, we have more poor communities that are right next to affluent communities. There was a time where they were totally separate. So if you were poor, you lived on, you know, someplace on the south side, and people with money lived someplace else. Well, now you're able to see them right next door. And that becomes a problem if you don't provide services. So my first thing in terms of getting rid of violence is to teach people the value of self. That's the first thing. So we have to encourage black youth to understand power in recognizing their historic greatness.
Because they don't know who they are.
Because part of that is because a lot of us, even today, see ourselves outside of ourselves. So we were at the house of this young lady, and she was talking about how black people don't support black art. They don't buy black art. Now, I'm looking around her wall, and she's got all this original art around her wall. So I said, so how do you say we don't if you do, and you're black? So we have to start saying, we have to start using the word some. Because just never all of us.
And let me tell you how that conversation plays out in our head. When I wrote my first book in 1997, The Passion Principles, Pathways to Purpose, Power, and Profit, that same exact statement was made that black people don't support black writers. And I got into the habit of saying that. And then one day, I just looked at all the sales of my books, and it's like everybody that bought a book was black. Why are you repeating the nonsense that you've been taught? I'm like, oh, my God.
And we're very guilty of that.
Yes. It is so ingrained in our communities and our consciousness that we don't even think outside of that, because we haven't taken the time to get still, get quiet, and listen to the still, small voice. And we know better than anybody else.
You know, one of the things we wanted to do too with young people that we mentored, and we mentored over 800 young people since we've been back in Chicago. What we wanted to do with them is to articulate how you see. When you look out of the window, what do you see? Do you see the garbage on the ground, or do you see the leaves that are growing? Do you see the pimp that's on the corner, or do you see the man taking his daughter or son to school? How do you see? And if you can broaden your perspective about what you see, then we will be better at feeling better about ourselves. There's a saying from one of the songs that we did for the Department of Education, that first you have to see it, then you can be it. And it is so true that that's important. That our young people have to see images of what they ought to be. And so when I was in high school, Oscar Brown Jr., Okoro Harold Johnson, and Kilan Thil-Coran did a show called Lyrics from Sunshine and Shadow, based on the work of Oscar Brown Jr., Paul Ernest Dunbar. And I saw that show, and I said, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. And I told someone recently that had I seen a bad show that day, I would have been a furniture refinisher.
Oh, really?
Because that's what my father did.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have gone into that. But instead, I saw this great show that motivated me in a different direction. And so a lot of it has to do with us allowing our young people to see things that they can be. You know, like if you think you want to go and be a doctor into the medical field, you really should volunteer. shit hospital. Because if you see or smell blood, you don't know how you're going to land within that process. So I think the young people should be, in whatever field they're going into, I think they should be volunteering. I think they should go in to learn what it's really about. Because you might find out at the end of going to school for all this time, spending all this money, that you hate what you do.
Right.
And that's the worst thing that could happen to you.
And there are so many people like that today.
Yeah, there are.
Like, I spent all this money to go $60,000, $100,000, $200,000 in debt, $300,000 in debt. And then I hate what I'm doing. Law school is a prime example of that.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of us jump in there and end up hating it. I have so many friends now that say, oh, I want to try to give back now. I've been pulled away from the community, and you know, I haven't had any involvement, now I want to be involved. And because a lot of these companies say to us, you know, don't go into the black community. You know, when I lived in Phoenix for a while, and they would tell us, don't go to the South, die to Phoenix. Well, that's exactly where I'm going.
Right.
Because that's where my people are.
Don't go to the south side of Chicago. Don't go to the west side of Chicago. Yeah, but they're marketing everything that they have to sell to the south side and the west side of Chicago.
And you would think that all of us are stepping over bodies when we walk out of our house the way that they advertise the violence in Chicago. And I know that there's violence. There's violence here. There's violence everywhere. But the way that you articulate it has a great deal to do with how people feel. And like people have been talking about, we need to bring in the National Guard. Well, in Chicago, where would you put them? So your assumption, the most general assumption, I think, is we put them on the south side and the west side. We isolate black people and the problem is over. But what do you do about downtown? What do you do about the north side?
Come on, man.
What do you do about the white guys that
come on,
you know, the brother that runs the film office.
Come on now. I can tell you some stories.
And carjacking.
Yeah.
You know, so the problem is everywhere, and I think that the solution to it is a better personal education and understanding that families cannot be everything, which is why in most societies you have teachers. You cannot expect parents to teach the children.
No, you can't.
All parents are not capable of doing that. One of the disservices that I think that we did as a people during the 60s was to say we were the descendants of kings and queens. Some of us were, but some of us were the descendants of the beggars out in front of the temple.
Okay, now.
So, you know, some of us were engineers. Some of us were doctors. Some of us were teachers.
Tell the truth.
Everybody didn't do everything, and we shouldn't expect everybody to.
No, we should not.
When my children were growing up, and they introduced the new math, I was just out of it.
You are not alone, my brother.
It eliminated my ability to be able to help.
Okay, you are not alone. It is 8:57. It is almost time for the show to be over. We do an after show. Would you like to hang around for the after show?
You know, I have another appointment that I have to go to.
Okay, let me get a quick question in, 706-202, because we're going to be live off the air in a minute, but I got to play this promo.
We've come to the end of our show today.
Please go ahead and give us the
archives.
Raise your hand. And got to play this ending. And
the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea,
감사합니다. Russia, спасибо. Germany, danke. Poland,
hey.
John, could you? France, merci.
Yes,
Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakkur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And that is the voice. To leave Naima, so we're going to give him the last statement before he
absolutely. Hello Naima, how are you? First of all, I want to just say thank you for having me on the show, and I hope that, your listeners can come out to the official launch, which is May the 3rd at the Woodson Library. And we decided to do it at the Carter G. Woodson Library because of its historic significance as being named after the a person who was responsible for the development of Black History Month, and also for the Vivian Harris Collection. Vivian Harris was the first Black librarian in the city of Chicago, and so we wanted to make sure that we connected with them because it's important that we stay connected. So.
Can I send a TV crew to film that?
Sure.
Okay.
I will have your I have our media folks to contact you.
Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate that. We'd love to have that on the Higher Learning Network TV show. That would be awesome. Yeah. And then we'll run.
Sylvia Ewing is.
Sylvia. Yes. I know Sylvia.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It should be fun.
So Naima, he has to go. But did you have a quick comment or question you wanted to make to Payman Rami before he leaves?
Well, thank you so much for chronicling our history and reminding us that we did have strong families, and that really just points out that everything began to fall apart when we got separated, when our families got separated, when the men got pressured into leaving because of the welfare system, and it just had snowball effect. So we know that's really what we got to do is rebuild families, and thank you so much for reminding us of where our strength lies. I learned so much from this show and was so inspired. And that's one of the reasons why we do that Wednesday show is to reconnect the families and to go step by step and figure out what went wrong so we can fix it, because that's where the foundation of everything lies. And thank you for educating our audience.
Thank you. And you know, the other thing that we have to face, and maybe within your Women Speaks component of what you do, you begin to address it, we have to readdress the role of men and women in society. We have to, because if you're going to take something away, so if you're going to say, this has been masculine for all this period of time, so now we're going to do whatever that is, then it has to be replaced with something. And so people that are in relationships now have to be able to address, what does the relationship mean? What is the role of the person that's with you? And they have to be able to communicate to the extent of being able to do that. They have to be able to talk, and we don't do that enough. And we have to not only talk, but we have to clarify what the terms are that we're using. So if I say to you that I am committed to you, what does commitment mean? Because
right.
I think that we might be meaning two different things in the way that we look at it. And so I just commend you all for continuing the efforts like this to continue to tell these stories. And by the way, I know that you were on the Russ Meek show.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing it. Well, I was on the original Russ Meek show.
All right now.
All right.
In 1969, I think. First time that we did the show with him and Matilda Haywood, that was the co-host. I hope at some point someone can, and maybe you know, but I hope someone has those archives or access to all those tapes.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might want to talk to Keith McDonald or even Russ Meek's wife. I'm sure that she has kept all the show going. So I'm sure she has the archives of all of those old shows.
Yeah. You know, because they just did Soul. They did the documentary on Soul that did extremely well. That was a show out of New York. And there's a book called Black Power TV that the young lady wrote. And I didn't think she gave enough importance to Up in Here. Because it was significant during that period of time in its development. And it's, and giving us opportunities as artists to be on that show. Because prior to that, we got very little, if any, coverage. And they were great for being able to do that. So, yeah. Glad I had an opportunity to say that.
Maika Helen Edmund Bevel, a former host here on the Female Solution, she moved downstate. She says, Grand Rising, please schedule part two so we can interact with your guests. Thank you. So we got a request for you to come back because blackness is going to always be golden. It's always be golden.
As it should be.
Yes.
And
as it should be.
You know, my final comment is, that it is important that we find the good in ourselves and that we emphasize it in a way that our children realize that we might not have been able to make all of the choices that we wanted to be able to. But it's in resistance and in resilience that is the reflection of who we are. It's not in the pain and suffering. It's in the ability to be able to move beyond it and to be able to still stand up and say, you know, in spite of what you've done to me, we have risen to greatness.
Amen.
And that has to be the continuation of how we articulate who and what we are.
Amen.
And we have to do it with our children, and we also have to make sure that they commit to institution building. It's not enough for us to tie the church and not tie to cultural institutions. For us to be healthy, our mind, body, and spirit have to work together.
Yes, sir.
And that comes about as a result of institutions like yours that are articulating the missions of what we are, being supported by our people, so that you have the wherewithal to say what you need to say, and you're not beholden to the folks and the colonizers that might give you money.
Okay.
And keep doing what you want to do. You know, so we have to give. And we have to say to our children that it's not enough for you to go to an institution and then go away without giving to an institution and giving back to one so that somebody like you steps in your path in the same shoes that you do. We have, you know, it's like the Negro Ensemble Company, which was the biggest black theater company America at one point. Every major star came out of it. How did they go out of business? How do they go out of business? Sorry. They go out of business because all those millionaires that they helped to create didn't understand the importance of the sustaining of that institution. They had to be driven to say, it's not important just for you to be famous. What's important is that we have a constant bridge to help people to continuously develop. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, how does it free us? You know, if we're looking at accomplishments that don't address how we become free and independent, we're doing a disservice. That's what we have to do.
Well,
it's one thing to say, you know, we're going to buy a house. It's another to say we're going to take over a community and we're going to build something of significance and importance.
Yes, sir.
I was on a lecture not too long ago, and so I told these white people, I said, do you realize that black people have... You know, you always talk about black people burning up their communities during riots. Do you realize in the history of this country that has never happened? They said, what do you mean? I said, it's never happened. Did black people burn up Chatham? Did black people burn up Ladera Heights in L.A.? The places that we all know. Everything that has been burned down was people either keeping us in the or they were areas
of Lord and all that.
Places we were discriminating against, it's people that we hated and treated us wrong. It was not stuff that we owned.
That's the programming.
Fact,
That's
when
the
they had the riots in L.A., black folks stood outside to protect Marlon Gibbs' institution because they knew how many people were back.
Wow.
We will not let you burn this
down. They didn't, the media's not going to report that.
Right, so if stuff burned down around it, but they protected her space. And that's
good to know.
Anyway.
It has been, as Les Brown would say, it's been a plump, pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege. Naima, I did not know that this man grew up in Safeway Gardens. When I showed him my Safeway Gardens t-shirt, he fell out. See, good things come from the project. Just because it was a project doesn't mean that you are less of a human being and you don't have full potential to develop into. He is living proof of it. You are living proof of it. Thank you so much, Paymon Ramin,
for
being a guest. And we will, yes, we're going to schedule you for part two as soon as we can. Yes, sir.
Love it. Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank us.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. This has just made my day. It don't take much. It does not take much. And we still got calls. People who want to comment. So Paymon Ramin is gone, but if you still want to comment, we will take your call, 779-801. Would you like to talk to Naima and myself on the after show?
Hi, this is Rising. This is Maika. How are you?
Maika. Oh, wow. Yeah, he had to leave, my sister, but he's coming back.
You got to schedule him back. But
yes,
I just want to, you know, as I'm listening to him, and I've heard it so many times, that there were strategic plans to cripple the black community. And one of the things that's important for us to do is to step out of the norm so that we can avoid fitting into these pitfalls that's designed to destroy us, our families, and our community. So, of course, late 70s, in the 80s, I participated in a black think tank that was developed by Reverend James Bevel. And we did strategic planning to construct nonviolent-based institutions so that we did not have to fit in the violent institutions that had been set up by the European system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church, the government, the business, the clinic, and the school. Those were the institutions that we focused on. We would have meetings every morning to decide who was working, what institution, what work needed to be done, who was going to do it, and what resources you needed to carry that out. And so it's important that we understand that these traps, like mice traps, have been set for us. You can go around them. You can go under them. You can go above them. But you don't need to step into them, knowing that they're there. So we have to become scientists, and we do have to develop more think tanks for us to come in and decide what are we going to do to secure the future for our prosperity, our children, our descendants. It's so important, and that's so important. So that's all I wanted to really say, and I wanted to thank him for his contribution.
Thank you so much, Maika. We greatly appreciate that. Let's try to get another call in here right quick before we go. We only got 20 minutes. 111. I'm not getting any answer. 773-984, you're live on the Female Solution. Hi, who's this? Where are you calling from? 773-984. Hi, who's this?
Hello, this is Rashida. How are you?
Hi, Rashida.
Yes. I wanted to know, when are we going to get together to develop the spiritual boot camp to go to Pembroke with students?
You said you want to know when what now?
When are we going to Pembroke with the students?
Oh, okay. Not exactly sure when that will be, but I'm sure Naima will set a date.
I think we said, but we'll say it again on this Wednesday. I'll say it again because we'll have a few other things connected to that. So, yes, we will definitely keep you abreast. that you can be a part.
Okay, let's get one more call. 111-1111. Hi, who's this? Where are you calling from? What's your name and what's your comment for the after show?
Good morning.
Good morning. Who's this?
Glenn Myers. This is Obadiah. How you all doing?
Obadiah, thank you so much for calling. Where are you calling from?
Masterful program as usual. You know, I got a question. This is the difference. When we talk about black people, there's always a lack of unity. We follow too much of the other cultures' example. Once we call ourselves getting success, it means separating ourselves out. I just heard him say that we had somebody that was a pipeline to making great actors. When the actors got famous, they didn't put back in that. And look at what happened. The biggest thing we need to do is just help wherever we at. If I see somebody sitting on the ground, I go up and talk to them. I'm not above them. Just because I got a college degree, I got blessed. But why can't I talk to them and ask them what's going on with them when they're sitting on the ground? What's your problem? Well, you know, I need some money. Hey, don't you know? If you wash my car, I give you $20. You need a soap, a rag, and some simple things. Give him $10. Go to the Dollar Tree, and now he's got him a business. Help wherever you can. We act like we got to follow the Democrats or follow somebody or do this. We follow too many people. Why don't we set up our own stuff? And the biggest piece is why don't we just unify? Stop all that stuff. Oh, I got more money than you. I'm better than you. What is that about?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? See, if we go back to basic, then we would really have something. We
it's
got our people to follow too much computerized thinking.
Say
they
that.
Tell you what to think. They got too much television. We remember when television went off. And it was
at midnight.
24 hours a day.
I didn't need more. 24/7.
500 channels, and you still ain't better. Why? Because there's too much foolishness on the Internet. And you need peace of mind that separates you from any electronica. Step outside and listen to the birds sing a symphony for you, if you can do that.
Well,
we
have
not,
a big do that, so
we're not universally connected. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you very much for that comment. We greatly appreciate it. You are right on target, Naima.
So that's one of the main reasons why we are launching the New Earth Homeschool Academy to create a different mind, create different values, and correct the problems at the root where they originate. It originates with the way we think, the way we see ourselves, and the way we see the world. So the step-by-step process really begins with those who are raising children in the home recognizing where they've been misdirected and misprogrammed so that they don't keep inflicting that same pain onto the children that they're raising. And as he said, and as has been said throughout this program, we're following a culture that is dysfunctional. And so we become dysfunctional. I mean, imagine how ridiculous it is for somebody deciding they can tell you whether you can grow hair on your face or that you have to alter the texture of the hair on your head. However the creator fashioned you, anybody else's business. This is who you have chosen to be. This is how you are expressing yourself. And it's within your power to do so. So the fact that we have been in a condition where we felt that someone else had the power to determine whether or not we can eat food and have shelter and have access to basic needs, transportation, clothing. The fact that we believed that other people had the power to determine that and therefore we had to alter ourselves, that's dysfunctional thinking in itself. And the fact that we have believed that other people have some kind of power that we don't have to create what we need. That is dysfunctional. So we have to remove all that dysfunctional thinking. But there is a history to it because things did happen. It's not our imagination. But we have to look at it as a lesson that we learn. And so how do we create what we want instead of keep reproducing what we don't want. And that means change our thinking. Change our beliefs about ourselves so that we stop manifesting other people's definitions of ourselves. It is an easy thing to do, but the most challenging thing is changing your mind. When your mind changes, then you stop creating the reality that you don't want. So one of the things that we have determined we need to do is visualize things as we want them to be. That's like anything else. And we do it all the time. I mean, when you decide you want to look pretty, you know, first what do? You visualize it. Okay, you know, I want to be wearing this kind of dress. I want to have my face looking this way. I want my hair to be done this way. And then you put those things in motion. You go to the hairdresser or whatever, and you get the hairstyle you have in mind. You get the makeup, and you put it on the face so you have the face you have in mind. You buy the clothes so you have the clothes you have in mind. First, you have to have it in your mind. What do I want it to look like? And then I will do the things that will make that happen. Same thing with our community. What do we want them to look like? We want them to look like beautiful oases with wonderful greenery, and we want the feeling to be of safety and peace. That's what we want to manifest. That's what we want it to look like. That's what we want it to feel like. We have to create the feeling that we would have when we have things as we want them to be, and that will lead our energy, our actions, to create it. That's how creation actually works. We keep miscreating because we keep visualizing the oppression, remembering the oppression, remembering the anger, remembering the powerlessness, and recreating that. These people won't let us do this. So we sit around and pout about it, we can't get angry about it, we fuss about it, and we keep not doing the thing that we always had the power to do. We just ignore these people. Ignore the people who tell you what you can't do. Do what you're going to do. And they'll do what? Get mad at you, and that does what? Nothing. Who really has the power to stop you? No one. No one on this earth has the power to stop you. You have to know that. And then your behavior will follow that belief. So what is stopping us from creating the beautiful communities that we want to see? Absolutely nothing. You look at a piece of land that is trashed and dirty. You visualize it as beautiful, growing plants, flowers, growing trees, growing gardens. You visualize what it's going to look like. Visualize. Now, the mistake we make is we stop right there and then we look for somebody else to do it. No. Once you see it, then you manifest it. So we're going to be participating with some of the neighborhood cleanup programs as part of our launching of this year's pandemic farm work. We're going to take these, they get lost in areas that are trashed after we clean them up. Then we're going to look at how we can refertilize the soil that's been damaged and toxified by garbage and trash. And then we're going to look at what's growing there that's actually good for us that Mother Earth has given us for absolutely free, and how we can turn these things into healthy eating. And then we're going to look at what grows in this area and plant it and allow it to grow. Now, of course, the rain comes down from the sky. We don't pay that. We don't have to pay the water bill. We got good rain. I see the grass and everything turns green. All this happens without our efforts. So the little effort that we can do to clean up the mess we made, that's all we have to do in order to manifest the kind of visual image we want. Because if you've got dirt on the outside, that's a manifestation of dirt on the inside.
All right, now.
If our communities are dirty and nasty and you go into a building and it's smelling like urine, what does that do to your spirit? That's telling you, I am dirt. Yes, we know what happened with the project. And it was a project. How many families can you stack on top of each other? And what happens when you decrease the space? Yes, that was done. The buildings were beautiful when they were built, but then they were neglected. So you have 20 floors and the elevator's not working. What does that do to people? And you have people who are made to feel like caged animals. What do they start acting like? Like brother was talking about, the rat experiment, where they start eating each other. When you have people urinating in the elevator, what kind of behavior is that? Preying upon each other. What kind of behavior is that? They knew it would cause an implosion just by creating an environment that was distasteful, where you don't have grass and trees, you've got concrete and gravel, where children can run and fall and skin their knees. So broken glass. So instead of play being fun, it's painful. You're constantly getting injured because there's no soft grass, no oxygen coming from nature and plants to breathe, no birds because there are no trees. So you don't even hear the song of birds, the healing sound of birds singing. You don't hear any of that. You don't see the things that are pleasing to the eye aesthetically and bringing peace. So you have a very jarring, harsh environment that you're bringing up children, and very violent fights breaking out because people are under stress. So that environment, it started out, and as you all have said, it started out with a loving, wonderful community relationship, people looking out for each other's children and creating businesses in the area. All of that existed, and then take the men out of the community. The natural order of things becomes lopsided. So then you have men who were not raised to be family-oriented becoming predatory, eating each other. It's like the rat. That's what happened. So since we know that that's what happened, let's observe what happened and choose not to recreate that. Let's choose to create different kinds of housing structures that bring peace, even if it's those small housing units, but in a community environment where people are interacting and there's plenty of nature around, grass and trees. That's part of what we're putting together in the Pembroke area, where there's land, there's space, instead of people stacked on top of each other. And you can have your family, you can have your plot of land, and you can have a place where you can breathe. So the mindset has to change, because we already know what happens when you create an environment where there's only concrete and steel and no grass and trees, and you stack people on top of each other. They already know that people start devouring each other when you take away the elements of the family unit, where there's a balance. Because you need that balance. When you don't have the balance, you put extreme stress on the one parent that's there, and the economic stress, and then you can't watch your children and be outside providing for them at the same time, so something's going to happen to them, and they're going to be neglected, and then you have the predators that come in and create distress. That's what happened. And yes, it was done deliberately. So rather than us agonize about that and get angry about that and keep visualizing it, because that's what happens when we keep talking about it, visualize what we want the community to look like. What does peace feel like? What does joy feel like? What does safety feel like? Not the safety that comes with somebody patrolling your area with a gun, because that's not safe, because then if they slip out, then they shoot up everybody that's minding their own business. We've seen that happen. That's not safety. Safety is that sister that looked out for everybody's children and told your parents if you were doing something out of order. That's safety, because you have a mother figure. Safety is the father out playing ball with the children and forming teams and having fun in the park and where there's grass. Safety is when you have your own leagues where you form and everybody can express their athletic talent and be celebrated for the gifts that they have. That's what a community looks like. That's what it feels like. That's what we had. That's what we created. So let's recreate it using the power that we already have. So I'm going to have Karen Hicks come on one of our shows. She was on WDON. They have a few good women. They're organizing, again, some community cleanups, and we're going to participate in that and not only clean up these lives, but female solutions, repurpose them and help them areas be places where we bring peace. We bring the energy of nature. And we remove the trash that brings the energy of despair. And we teach growing food. We teach nurturing the soil. We teach removing toxins. We teach nutrition. And we have the power to do this in our own hands. As soon as we say somebody else ought to do it, well, the city ought to do this, these elected officials ought to do this, as soon as we do that, we take the power out of our hands and give it to somebody else. Why would we do that? Why do you give the power to somebody else to decide what you should wear on your face, your head, your body? Why give power to people to decide what you can be? Keep your power in your hands. Choose to create what you want in your community. Do it yourself.
And that's exactly what we are doing right here on the Female Solution. So what can we expect? Oh, well, tomorrow we know self-cell care with Jody Susan. What can we expect on Wednesday with Imam Kareem Hamid?
Yes. Well, now let's see. This is the third
Wednesday.
Wednesday, we've got Mama Joy coming with Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, so phenomenal,
in helping to empower
Mama
women.
Mama Joy is back. Yes,
Mama Joy is back, bringing us joy. And
on Thursday,
steps we need to take internally as women to change what we have been miscreating, so that we can see ourselves differently. It's not enough to just say, well, this is wrong, and this is the, we shouldn't have done this to us, and so forth and so on.
What's the point?
That's the victim mentality.
What's the point?
Whatever happens to you, you learn not to allow that condition to exist so it can happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So you take your power that you have and create the right condition, which is what we do. We have to create the right partnerships with our brothers. We have to create the right relationships with our children. So there is respect and honor, and we have to be the kinds of mothers that can be emulated, like the sister who looked out for the children in the building. We have to have that mother instinct. We're here to help our children feel mothered and loved and protected. And so that's what it means to be a woman, and that's what we have to rediscover and reinstitute in our young sisters as they grow and define themselves and prepare themselves to raise those beings that are going to be manifesting the new world that we're going to live in.
It's a whole new world. And so he's on Friday. I got a Zoom at 9:30.
Yeah, so on Thursday,
I'm
already
late.
We got Dr. Debbie coming on, and Dr. Debbie is always giving us some great insight on how we repair the internal damage that we have experienced in this very traumatizing life we have lived. And so she comes with that very important healing within.
It's
so
Friday.
Look out for Souls and Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursday. And then, of course, Friday we've got Health and Well-Being with Beata. Know how your body repairs itself and help your body by giving it what it needs. And she gives us some great health tips and insight so that we can make right choices. And then, of course, Saturday, this is the fourth Saturday, we've got Wisdom with Mama T. And as always, a great historian and elder, and she's giving us some insight in these times on how we can begin to change what we're experiencing so that we can learn from the past and therefore create the future that we need. And, of course, Wisdom stands for Women in Support of Daughters on Motherhood Reparations.
Mm.
And she has great insight on how we as mothers can shape those young minds. So we'll be certainly looking forward to that. And then start all over again on Sunday with Soul Purpose Healing with Beata, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And we want you all to join us every day. Every day we've got some wisdom from our wise stars of the Female Solution, and We've got some phenomenal guests. So you need to be a part of the process because this is the Morning Think Tank. And every day we present a solution.
Amen. And on Saturdays, 12 noon until 2 p.m., and Sunday evening, Soul Purpose Healing from 7 until 9 p.m. as we leave you with the promo for the day. Thank you so much for keeping us company and for sharing this show. This is crucial information, and I'm going to be in touch with, Pamain Rami, who will come back and do part two. We're getting requests all over the place, so we will have him back and we will do it all over again. But we leave you with the female solution. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan, 7 till 9 a.m. Thanks for watching.
Global radio TV show.
Thanks, Naima.
Invite you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Shauna. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And that's all, folks. Thank you so very much for joining us. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Whatever you do, remember to do something special for yourself because there's only one you. Make it a great day. And thanks for watching. Bye-bye now. Remember to do the higher learning hip roll because sitting is the new smoking, and you don't want to sit all day because you'll have problems. Ooh, you don't want to have them kind of problems. You don't want to have them kind of problems. All right, got to get to my Zoom. I'm late, but please share this video. Please share it and like it and know that it's important. Thanks. All right, Naima, got to go. Peace.
All right.
Thank you, babe. All right. Shalom.